Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best. Hello and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am thrilled that you are here today. Thank you so much for showing up for yourself. And because I truly believe, and this goes for me too, that every time we show up for these, we're being more consistent in our lives. We're showing up for ourselves. We are showing the universe that we're ready to bring in the best life possible, which is what we're all about. The happiest, most peaceful, most abundant, most expansive. I like that word the best, the most expansive human experience possible. So welcome. I'm so excited today to welcome our guest. Our guest is Dr. Rebecca Heiss. She is a stress physiologist and a performance expert. I need to put in a sound effect though, like the crowd going wild.
Giving my queen wave to all of the
there
people.
There you go. Hell yeah. I'm so excited because you're all about transforming stress, which I love. We talk about getting rid of stress, but what if we transform it? I love transformation. I'm all about it. And so I send those intake questions that you filled out. Thank you for doing that to all the guests. And the first one is, you know, describe your message in one sentence. And you wrote probably the best answer I've ever read.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking love it.
Really glad.
Oh my God, I love it so much. You're wearing your own damn ruby slippers. You're your own brain wizard and you've had the power all along.
Yeah, buddy.
That's mic it. Drop right there.
I think people spend their whole lives like wandering that yellow brick road, right? Looking for somebody to tell them you're enough. You've got this. Here's how you do it. This is the, like, until we recognize that we are our own wizards, right? Like, just like Dorothy, you know, like, you've got those ruby slippers on. You've had the power all along. And I think it's so powerful to recognize it and to own it and to go, really? I am? And sometimes it does take somebody just going, psst, hey, it's you. It's you. You've got the power. And that has to become you reminding yourself of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's incredible.
So we're done here, guys. That was the
okay. That was the it's been great. Here's how you find her. Well, your I'm platform joking. Too is all about fearless. And it's genius. It's simple. You're wearing it on your shirt right now. I need one. I mean,
oh, I got you. I'll send
oh,
you one.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I will wear it on the show because I completely agree. And I'm curious about your path to getting to this point, to this realization of your own ruby slippers, to this realization of fear less, love more, be brave more, everything more, you know.
All the mores. Yeah.
All the mores.
Well,
all the mores.
I mean, how long do we have? Because this could take a while. I was born in 19. No, I'm just, I think the path is one of unlearning and awakening, right? I did all of the things I was supposed to do. I was a smart kid. I had 4 O's through college. I just kept doing the things that I was good at and what was expected of me. And I looked around my life at one point and I had achieved this incredible academic career and I was married to a very kind man and I had a nice house and like all the things. But I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. And unfortunately, my sister called me And her wife of 20 years, somebody who was like a sister to me, had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I thought about that for about a half second. I was like, oh my God, if that had been my diagnosis, I'd be so pissed at the life that I'd led. Oof. Because every decision that I'd made, I had made out of fear. And that is not the legacy that I wanted to leave. And so
What were you scared of?
Oh, everything. I was scared of people's opinions of me. I was scared that I wasn't maximizing my potential in the universe. Like, I have to be everything. I have to do all the things to make sure that I'm checking off all those boxes. I have to live all the lives. Mm-hmm. And so I quit my job, sold my house, and divorced my husband that month.
That month.
I mean, like, there's a reason that I showed up. Right? Yeah. There's a reason I showed up today in a sweatshirt. I told Amy ahead of this recording, I was like, I got all dolled up and like got my professional jacket on. I was like, that's not me. Like, I need to live my own message, which is fearing less, right? It's not about being fearless. It's about showing up as yourself authentically. And this is me. Like, I am hoodie and like slides all day long. You know, this is how I show up. So anyway, I quit my job, sold my house, divorced my husband. And I'm like, woof, now what? Like, now what are the steps that I take to actually craft my own life where I'm not making these decisions out of fear, but I'm fearing less. I'm looking at the fear and going, okay, if I wasn't afraid, what would I do here? And what are the fears that I have? Is it a tiger? Is it like a life-threatening situation?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to die if I do this? Or am I afraid of like the rejection or of failing or... like, what if I don't do it? What are the costs of inaction? What if I don't show up for myself? And those fears began to drive a more fearless life. Does that make sense? So it's a shifting 100%. The fear, right?
Shifting instead the of, fear, letting it serve being, you, letting it serve it, you. I mean, because it. those big life decisions that you make can seem like the things that are really scary, but then you just... something overrode those for you, you know? Like,
it's the cost of inaction. Right. It's the thinking about you laying on your deathbed at 88 years old or 108, hopefully, you know, 118. Let's not limit anybody. Yeah. Right. And you're sitting there and you're going, gosh, I wish I'd, you know, those regrets or those silent sirens of regrets, I think, are the scariest things. And so to me, I wanted to make sure that I was really true to myself and really making decisions that served me, that mm-hmm. were passions for me, that led me into curiosity and a deepening of my knowledge and my connection with the universe and one another. And I wasn't doing that by following the standard, like, this is what you should do. So yeah, that was the origin story.
I love it. That's incredible. And where did stress fit in it for you? And how has that piece of it fit into all this?
Yeah, great question. Thanks. So I mentioned that I kind of had done all the things that I was supposed to do. And among that was getting a PhD. So my PhD was in stress physiology and understanding what the body and mind does. Yeah, yeah.
What that means exactly. Tell me about it. Yeah. I mean, I have a guess, you know, from
and
the words.
Thank you for being fearless and asking the question, because that's part of it, right, is being curious.
Oh, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of being dumb. I'm not scared at all. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's great. Physiology is the study of hormones, right? So it's all of the stress hormones that go into our behaviors. So I was looking at mainly cortisol, which is our main stress hormone in humans. But I mean, cortisol affects all kinds of other hormones in our bodies, everything from oxytocin to, you know, the cuddle hormone, the love hormone, to the ghrelins, the things that make you hungry or your neurotransmitter. So I'm looking at basically how our stress affects our behavior as a result of the changing hormones in your body. And so I had done that. I had achieved that like in an academic setting. And I had this PhD. I had this piece of paper that said I knew something about something, but I wasn't actually using it, right? Like, I wasn't applying that knowledge to my own life. And in that sort of disastrous month where I threw a grenade on my life, I started actually taking that.
Let's call it transformative. That knowledge.
Let's call it transformative. It was. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I looked around and I was like, I have this. I have this body of knowledge. Why am I not using it to better understand who I am and how I show up and the way I affect people around me? So I started applying it. I created a little technique that I still teach today, called the T-3 technique. I'm happy to walk your listeners through it.
I want to, yeah. Do you think you were drawn to this because it's like subconsciously to study?
Absolutely, I do. Of course I do, because I think we always teach or learn what we need the most, right? And so I think I desperately needed to understand the behaviors and especially the decisions that I made. I can go into a lot of detail later about some stress responses that I had under massive stress, stressful moments, like a sexual assault, right? That I didn't understand. I couldn't understand why I was behaving in a certain way. But when I looked back to the body of knowledge, I'd already had the understanding. I just wasn't applying it to myself. So yeah, I absolutely think that this is something that I needed to teach myself. And then as I learned, be able to share it with others.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. And how long ago was this?
This was 10 years ago.
10 years.
Almost 10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Isn't that crazy?
Oof. Happy 10 year. Happy Thanks. Decade. Yeah, a lot can go by in a decade. A lot can go by in 30 days there for you.
Anybody. It sure can. Yeah. I mean, you are your own wizard. Things can change overnight.
That's right. So let's talk about this transformation of stress. I want to talk about cortisol. I want to talk about the T3, and I want to talk about the way it manifested for you with sexual assault and how you have transformed that. So where would you like to start?
Let's start with T-3. That's the simplest place to start, probably, because that's the transformation of stress and fear into something that's like a fuel for you. So T-3 is really, it's a simple three-step process, right?
Okay.
And it starts with understanding that our brains aren't built for this world. They're built for the world of our ancestors, right? They're built for this world where there were tigers and lions and things that were going to kill us. And so our whole stress response is built for 3 minutes of screaming terror across the savannah, right? After which you're dead or you've outrun the tiger, right? Like one or the other. But of course, that's not the world that you and I live in, right? We've got the pings, the dings, the things coming in constantly. We're like, oh my gosh, that person, I got to get back to them immediately. They're going to think I'm a, like, we've got this constant just bombardment of stress. And what we do is we ignore it, or we push it aside, or we try and reduce it. And the lesson that I learned is if we don't name it, if we're not very conscious of that stress, it just amplifies, right? And so the first step in T-3 is setting a 3-minute timer and stressing out of your gourd, like allowing yourself to feel it, allowing your heart rate to come up. I recommend like go for a run, go for a quick jog, do some jumping jacks, like get your heart rate up because you're in this heightened physiological state. And if you've ever been in that space where you're like really stressed out about something and Amy, somebody's like, just calm down.
Right.
What? You're ready to punch that person, right? You're
that's like sprinkling.
Just calm down.
That's like sprinkling extra stress dust on top of it or something.
That's exactly it. Exactly it. Like you need those 3 minutes to really lean into the stress. And again, if you're not thinking about it, it's like I tell people all the time, like don't think about pink elephants.
Right.
Amy, stop thinking about this. Stop it. And you know, the more you try and like, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to stress about it, the more it's going to continue to like haunt you as those pink elephants do. So 3-minute timer to start. Two, the second thing is to take then 2 physiological sighs, because if you have absolutely stressed out of your gourd for 3 minutes, you're going to be kind of exhausted. That's good. You've outrun the tiger, right? You've signaled to your brain that you've now outrun the tiger. You're like, that was a close one. All right, then you're going to take 2 physiological sighs. And these are a type of breathing that we've shown in the laboratory to reduce cortisol instantaneously. That's really powerful, right? So you breathe in through your nose as deeply as you can. When you can't take in any more oxygen, you open your mouth and you kind of get those last little sips in, count for 1, 2, and then exhale through your mouth.
Okay. Do I need to be louder? Should
you,
I be louder?
No, you're good. If you do 2 of those, I promise you, like your audience, you want to do one together right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll feel it. All right. So notice how you're feeling right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So into the nose. Here we go. Open. Do you feel that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like jello, right? Your mm-hmm. body just is like, oh, I get it. Because yeah. again, like if you're having a tiger chasing you, you're not like, you're doing that like really short breaths. And that's what we do all day if we're not conscious, right?
Yeah.
So we're bringing this out of the limbic system, out of here, where we're making these like terrible emotional decisions, and we're allowing ourselves to be conscious of this moment, this time, this space that we're in. Brings it to the present. And then the last step. So we've done 3-minute timer, 2 breaths, 1 question. Get curious. Start with any question. It doesn't matter. The first question could be, is it a tiger? Right? Is this thing a life and death situation? If it is a life and death situation, good. You're already stressing. That's great. Right? That's exactly what your stress response is built for. If it's not, another question might be, well, what's the cost of inaction? You know, what's the best thing that could happen? When I'm asking people to get curious, because curiosity and fear cannot coexist. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. In the brain, curiosity and fear cannot coexist. There's literally no brain mechanism for it, because for 200,000 years while the brain was evolving, nobody ever had a tiger charging them and went, huh, you know, I wonder how fast it's coming.
What shade of orange is that?
Exactly. It looks more like a burnt orange. How many stripes are there? Right. So when we consciously become curious about something, it kicks us out of that fight, flight, freeze mechanism and allows us to begin taking action towards the next step, whatever that is. So that's the T-3 technique to transform any of that fear, any of that stress, any of that anxiety into something that is useful. And that was a game changer for me.
That is so useful too in stressful situations that we may not recognize as stressful, like someone that is disagreeing with you, let's say politically, you know, like, yeah. And just even understanding that curiosity and it was curiosity and fear cannot coexist,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, absolutely. You may not think you're fearful, but you're experiencing a stress response a lot of times in those situations. And so like, I don't know, I'm just thinking.
That's great. It's so true. And one of the things that we do, especially like, I love your example of politics, right? Is we immediately shut down the other person, like, no, that can't be the case. And what that does is it gets us nowhere. If you're saying no and I'm saying no, there's no conversation happening. Mm-hmm. Curiosity offers that bridge. So mm-hmm. one of the tools that I'll offer your audience is yes and. It's used in improv all the time. So Amy, you say something that I completely disagree with. I still have to accept that is your truth. So I'm going to acknowledge that by saying, yes, okay, yeah, Amy, I see that's the way you see it. I mean, I'm inviting you in, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And have you considered X, Y, and Z? Now it's not this like set up this conflict, this encouragement of stress. It's, yeah, let me invite you in. And then we're just kind of like dancing, you know, yes, and, yes, and, yes, and. It allows for people to see different perspectives.
I love that. Have you taken an improv class?
You know, never properly. I've been thrown into the middle of a couple improv situations, which has been, it was a good test of T-3. I could tell you that much.
I bet.
Like doing some breathing in the moment. But yeah, it's a phenomenal test for life, honestly, I think.
It is. I have not taken one. I've taken some acting and I've been nervous about improv, but I've wanted to. And I read somewhere along the way when I was looking into it, I think I signed up for one and then the pandemic happened and I was like, it's not in person. So I didn't. But they say that it improves your entire life and especially like business and things like that, which what you just said is a good example of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's going with that situation. It's flowing with it rather than setting up all these blockades and having the fear take hold of you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you've encouraged me. You've inspired me. I'll have to sign up.
Let's say, yeah, let's take
all
an
right.
improv class.
All right. Accountability partners right
That's
here.
That's right. Where are you? I forgot. Toronto?
I'm in Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina.
And there's a great troupe there. I'll give a little shout out to them. So I will have to sign up.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Well, can we talk some about how you discovered this and then the sexual assault that I'm sorry to hear that you experienced?
Yeah, no, I think that it's really important to talk about. And this is something that, you know, I am very lucky in that I consider myself a statistic. You know, I'm a statistic. There's 1 in 7 women that are sexually assaulted. And mine was not as bad as it could have been. Now, I've had multiple assaults throughout my life. And it took me until the last one, when I was 35 years old, until I finally applied the science that I had been studying for decades to my own situation. And it's this, it's that when we talk about stress, we typically talk about fight or flight. And that's what we teach women to do. Well, you fight. Here's the self-defense class. Here's the, you know, here's the way you hold your keys. Here's how to run away, like get out of the situation. What we don't teach, and that's in part because we didn't even study it until the 1990s. Women were included in stress studies in academia until 1990. And so we didn't even realize that women have a very different response to stress, especially sexual assault, specifically sexual assault situations. Our best strategy is the freeze response. Now, when I say strategy, I'm not saying that women are sitting there thinking about like, okay, I should do this, I should do that. This is a physiological response. The same way your heart starts beating faster, you don't have control over that. You don't have control over the fact that you freeze. And what a freeze response looks like, and this happens in 70% of sexual assault cases for women. 70% of women freeze. It looks like this. Sitting there with a smile, it's freezing a peas. Now, when you think about this evolutionarily, and I'm not trying to insult women. We're very strong. We're very fast. We're all the things. However, biologically, females tend to be less dominant physically. So fighting is usually not a great option. Fleeing, usually not the best option. Probably not as fast as that man. So the best situation for survival is freeze and appease. And kind of
just get through it. Just get it over. Get through it. Like I have personally experienced that too.
So. And this is I'm so sorry to hear that. And the one of the worst things I think is that, well, there's a couple things. One, afterwards, because women aren't taught this, they have this secondary victimization because they go back and then they say, why didn't I? Why didn't I do all the things that I was supposed to do? Right? Why didn't I fight? Why didn't I flee? Why didn't I? And then what do? We re-educate women. We say, well, go sign up for a self-defense class so this doesn't happen again. The reality is our brain has recorded that as a success because you survived. And so now it's more likely to freeze the next time and the next time and the next time. Instead of educating men, hey, this isn't consent. This is a freeze response. And you have to be really, really careful because men are... Listen, I am married to a wonderful man. I love men. I don't have a thing like, I don't think you guys are predators. I don't think you're evil. However, your brains are literally wired to be over-perceptive for sexual intent. So you are more likely to think women are into you than they are. Like that is biological. It is not just you. That is a biological phenomenon. And so this sets up a really dangerous situation, right? Where men are over-perceiving sexual intent and sexual interest, and women are sitting there freezing and smiling, and we're not talking about it. So thank you for giving me the platform to discuss this, because I think it is so very important that not just women, but all genders hear this and can give themselves some grace and give themselves some education to make sure that they understand what their body is doing.
Oh, man, yeah. I have 2 daughters, so that resonates with me in many ways. And it's really important to talk about what is our cortisol doing? What are our stress hormones doing in those moments?
Yeah, I mean, they're through the roof, right? They're absolutely through the roof. And what that is causing is, it's called, oh gosh, see, I'm going to, oh, there it is. I was having a response. I'm like,
I'll cut that out.
no, please don't. It's fine. It's called tonic immobility. And when you reach this threshold, and we used to do this with birds, forgive me, I'm not an evil human being, but like if you release a bird, if you've captured a bird and you've tagged it or banded it or done whatever you need to do with it, and then you throw it in the air, you've probably seen this in movies, like people throwing doves in the air. they will fall out of the sky. They will drop like stones because they're in a state of tonic immobility. Their cortisol is through the roof. They're like, they can't.
They're frozen.
Actually,
yeah.
They're frozen.
Yeah.
And so you can't throw them. You turn them upside down on their backs in the sand or wherever you're releasing them. And then you step away. And you can set a timer. It takes sometimes 10 minutes or more for the birds to actually move. And that state of tonic immobility is your cortisol going, dude, this is a bad situation. Like, you cannot escape. Just play dead. Do the best you can to survive.
Why can't we control that?
Gosh, wouldn't that be nice? Well, for the same reason you can't control your heart rate, you know?
Oh, like, that pisses me off.
I know, yeah. It pisses me off too. It does. That's, it does.
I went through something a while back and I was doing all my practices and I could, my physiology was not getting the memo. And it was pissing me off. I just was like, I'm not sure what to do.
You're fighting 200,000 years of evolution, right? You're fighting. I mean, that's what I tell people. Like,
I microdosed for a month.
Yeah. Well, that actually probably without like, okay, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. I am a doctor, but not like the helpful kind. Is that's actually a pretty.
It
the
helped.
Best, the best. It helped. Yeah. The best way around it without prescribing it to anybody. But that's a. It's incredibly frustrating to when you're sitting there and you're like, but I've done all the things. I've checked the boxes. I've done the work. I've read. I've been curious. I've gone through it. And I think part of this practice that we miss is the release, the letting go, the saying, I am just a creature of biology, of millions of years of stardust and atoms coming together. And this is part of the experience. And one of the most helpful things for me in reframing this has been, there was a study done in 2013 looking at a large swath of Americans and asking people what has led to the most meaningful, purposeful lives. And across all the data, the resounding highest correlate was stress. And I was like, well, we got that wrong. That's something screwed up. And no, it was past stressful events, current stressful state, and even future worry and anxiety were the strongest correlates to a purposeful, meaningful life.
I don't understand.
Yeah. So wait. So full pause there. Let me help you with this because
please.
I had the same reaction. I was like, this is wrong. They screwed this up, right? Like we got this doesn't make any sense. But the more I thought about it, and I picked up on this research. This is my research. So I'll ask your audience to participate in the research here. So, if you will, think of project, an accomplishment, something you've done that you're incredibly proud of.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Now go back in time to when you were in the middle of doing that project. What was your stress level on the scale of 0 to 100? Yeah.
No matter what I think of it. Even if I think of having my kids, you know.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, exactly. That's I always am like, dude, I don't have children. I've got two stepsons. But I don't have any biological kids. And I look at people that have like two or three kids. I'm like, you didn't quit after the first one. Like what is going on? That's brilliant biology going, no, this too adds purpose. This too adds meaning. And so instead of thinking about like, my life is good in spite of the stress, the free frame there is actually, no, your life is actually good because of the stress. Stress is the barometer for how much you care and how engaged you are and how meaningful and purposeful the work is that you're doing. And that shift has been an absolute transformative thing for me.
That's the transformation. That's the transforming stress.
Oh my gosh, I'm stressed out of my gourd. Awesome. Like,
how do you apply that to your situation of freeze with the sexual assault? Or do you?
Yeah. So I think I want to be really careful here because I will never, ever wish that upon anyone or anything. I don't think there's no good of trauma, right? The only flip side is I now get to use this, having gone through it, having experienced it, to help others. And there's this really interesting concept. So we've heard of PTSD, yes, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody has. Have we heard of PTG,
Post-traumatic growth,
right?
I have.
I'm so glad you have. Yes. Oh, yes. Phenomenal. Well, Daniel Amen's amazing.
He wrote about it in his book, and actually he used Justin as an example.
There you go. Well, there you go. And these are the things that we don't talk about enough, right? Yes, you can have tremendous growth. Your brain can completely rewire. It's almost miraculous in what our brain is capable of doing, of transforming. But we have to have the tools to do it, right? Yeah. And again, I'm going to say to you, you are your own wizard. You're your best tool to do this. And so much of it is doing the work that is difficult. So for me, in these, you know, to answer your question directly, I have the privilege of a platform, and so I've been able to reach a lot of women and a lot of men, honestly, who have needed to hear this message. So it's been quite purposeful and meaningful to me.
Absolutely. You've been able to transform it.
Are you ready to uplevel your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. With more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com. That's W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones, so you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing, and I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night, and I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin, and I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Did you know that according to a study, 87% of women who have hair extensions lie about having them? And almost two-thirds of women have done some kind of hair extension at some point. So if you do the math, it's a lot. This show is all about letting go of judgments. So if you don't want to tell, I'm not going to judge you. And if you want to know the best secret for hair extensions anywhere around, it's right here in Austin, Texas at The Collective ATX. They have the most natural, lightweight, comfortable hair on the market, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods, which I've tried them all. And I didn't even know that your hair is automatically damaged if the extensions are placed anywhere below your ears. Crazy, right? My hair is actually growing in and getting healthier now too. Plus, they keep all their extensions in-house, meaning that you don't have to wait at all. Not to mention color. I'm so picky, I did it myself for years because no one can get it right until now. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX. Link is in the show notes. Tell them I sent you.
Do you get hair extensions, Tipsy?
Tipsy does not.
That's a very common, I think, when it comes to people that speak out. The more they speak out about their issue, the stronger they become. And then they realize, oh my gosh, and I'm not only transforming it for myself, but I'm transforming it for others too. That's partly why I try to be as honest as I try to be on this show. You know, like, I recognize that I'm going to get growth out of it when I actually do share, even though it can be really difficult at times.
Yep, absolutely. And I applaud your bravery in that.
Thank you. Yeah. I applaud anyone's bravery and yours as well, because it really, really does make such a difference. And you've had other examples of stress in your life too, which maybe we could talk about too, you know?
Yeah, like, sure.
I know that you were wrongly diagnosed with a terminal illness. And what was that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So this was a wild, this was really wild. So my sister-in-law, the one I mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast, unfortunately passed of a glioblastoma. So brain cancer, deadly, awful, awful, awful experience. So 2 years ago, I had, you know, I'm a speaker. I get to travel a lot. It's an incredible life, but I will say sometimes it catches up to you. And I had, I think, 6 cities in 5 days. And I was on stage and I collapsed, and I'd been having like some headaches and some, you know, some just weird stuff going on. And I collapsed, and then I slept for 18 hours straight.
Oh my God.
So I went to the hospital afterwards and just, you know, talked with my doctor, and she scheduled me for an MRI. She was concerned something was going on, and the results came back and it said, call immediately, emergent situation, glioblastoma.
Oh, shit. Are you kidding me?
So I read this result, right? I read this result and I'm like, I'll tell you how I expected. I expected to feel like, fuck, like this is, no, this is the worst. Like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Like that clinging, right? I felt none of that. I would never have expected this. If you were to ask me this and I hadn't had that experience, I'd be like, oh no, I'd be clinging. I'd be like doing everything I could to survive. I was like, huh, that sucks. And I was so calm. Like I was so calm about it. Now my husband was working over there and I kind of looked at him and I looked around. I just kind of took in my life at that moment. I was like, wow, this has been really good. This has been a really good ride. And then I was like, all right, hey, babe, would you come over here and just take a look? And of course, my husband, bless his heart, was like, there's a mistake. And, you know, and we went, he literally like drove me into my doctor's right then. And there had been, there'd been a medical error. And which also breaks my heart because I got somebody else's diagnosis. And I will not. It brings me to tears, actually, even thinking about it. But I will not ever forget that moment because I was so at peace. And that was an incredibly relieving moment for me to realize, oh, I don't fear death anymore. Because just a few years before that, I'd had that massive realization where I quit my job, sold my house, and divorced my husband, right? Even thinking about that moment. And here I was experiencing it. And I was like, I'm good. This was fun. Wow. I am incredibly grateful that I have whatever X number of years left. And I hope it's a very, very long, long, healthy life. But it was an experience that if I could safely give it to other people, I would want them to have. Because yeah. what a transformative moment.
Yeah. And it's just, it was the same disease.
Same disease.
Yeah. That essentially kind of changed your life before, you know, like two times.
Yeah.
And then it just neither time it was yours, really.
But, yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's funny. I'm just now putting that together here, telling you that.
Yeah. Really?
Wow. Yeah. And the most interesting piece is that it was the brain, right? Which is what I studied.
Yes.
So it was just one of those like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's really odd. Really odd.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
For sure.
It really does. When you say, also in your title, is performance expert. Like, yeah. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean that you're managing stress in a way that's serving you? Or
yeah, that's exactly it. So when you think about stress, typically people want to get rid of stress, right? And mm-hmm. that's, to me, a really poor choice, because having zero stress is a dead person's goal. Like that's the only people that don't have stress. Stress keeps you alive. Stress gives you life. And so when we look at stress and performance, the curve actually looks like a normal curve, like an upside down U. Okay. So if you have no stress, you also have no performance. There's no reason to get out of bed. Cortisol, if you're measuring cortisol, the first thing, cortisol spikes to get you up out of bed to go pee or to go get that first drink of water. Or like, it is literally the thing that says, hey, you need to get up.
Yeah.
So you want that, right? As you increase your stress levels, so does your performance to a point. And then you dip over and we go into distress. So there's two types of stress, right? Eustress, which is good stress, and distress, which is kind of the bad type of stress. Now, I'm not a full believer in distress, and we can talk more about that. But yeah. it starts to decrease your performance to the point where like you're so overwhelmed, you're so stressed out that you actually can't do anything. Here's why I challenge distress. Think about Olympic athletes. What's their level of stress? It is like so high in that moment, right? It is so high. It should be in that distress moment. However, they perform at their, that's when world records are broken, right? They don't get broken at practice. They get broken at this highest level. And so to me, that is a mindset shift. That is adventure versus ordeal. So one of the reframes that I help teach people is talking about stress as an adventure. So, mm-hmm. so often, you know, people are trying to control that roller coaster ride of life. You're strapped into this roller coaster, right? And you're like, I want you to love me. Love me, love me, love me, love me, love me. Why don't you love me? You know, I don't want COVID. God, no, not COVID. We try and control these things that we can't actually control. That's life. You're strapped in. What you can control is your reactions to those ups and downs. And that's where I say you're your own wizard, right? Like that's where you get to say adventure or ordeal, because hormonally, biologically, if you look at the physiology of excitement and you look at the physiology of stress and fear, they are identical, right? Like they're exactly the same. So your body is having this response. And the only difference is how you're interpreting it. It's like, oh, well, is this an adventure or is this an ordeal? And if I interpret it as an ordeal, guess what? My performance goes down. If it's an ordeal, then my health declines. This is like, there's some incredible research about stress isn't the thing that kills you. How you think about stress is what kills you. So people with really, really high, oh my God, it's wild.
So wild.
This is a 20,000 person, 8-year study. And they looked at people with really, really high stress levels. And unsurprisingly, that's one of the conditions where people die. They had a fairly high mortality rate with really high stress levels. But then they had this confounding factor. They're like, wait, what's going on? People with really, really high stress levels, but who didn't think that stress was negative or a detriment to their health, actually died at the lowest rate. So they died less than the people with no stress in their lives that were like, oh, no, I got nothing. So it's not about how much stress you have. It's about your mindset. It's about the adventure or the ordeal in life. And so, like, to me, that is so powerful. It's about the story that you're telling in and how you perform. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It absolutely is. Can you give me like a cortisol 101? Because I don't really have a good understanding of it. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that, but I don't.
Well, the short answer is no, I can't. It's a really complicated hormone.
Okay.
I
mean, okay. Honestly. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, all right. It's complicated. Yeah, okay.
Here's what happens. You have neurotransmitters, usually adrenaline. That's the first thing that you feel when somebody claps or you have that startle. That's adrenaline. Okay. That's norepinephrine. And that gets set off in your brain, like, all right. And that sends a signal to ACH. So which then sends another signal to your adrenals to pump out cortisol. Cortisol is the lasting stress hormone. All right. So that initial surge, that's not cortisol. That's adrenaline. But you can't stay long on adrenaline, right? Mm-hmm. Something has to come in and support it. That's cortisol. And so cortisol lasts about 20-ish minutes with a single spike, 20-ish minutes. And what it does is it's a protective hormone. It's actually trying to protect you. So it's lowering your sex drive. You don't want to be horny when a tiger is chasing you, right? Like not good. Not good.
Right.
Right.
Not it's ideal.
Lowering your need for nutrients. Like you're not trying to eat when you're stressed out. Lowering your immune system. Don't put any of your energy into your immune system. You don't need to fight anything. You need to survive right now. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the challenges that you see over like a long period of stress. Is people are like, well, I have no sex drive and I'm losing weight or I'm losing muscle mass or, you know, I'm getting sick all the time. Yeah, it's because cortisol is like just pumping through your system and it's doing all these things to help you survive. That's what's supposed to be a 3-minute challenge and is really has been extended now for a long time. So cortisol is a remarkable molecule that interacts with pretty much every other hormone in your body. And is really useful, right? It increases during exercise, and that's good. You want cortisol when you exercise. So I think, you know, doing a simplistic 101 of like, okay, cortisol is bad, and here's all the reasons that it's bad. Well, yes, and cortisol is good, and here's all the reasons that it's good. It's a complex hormone that interacts with a whole bunch of others, but the quick response is that it gets triggered in your adrenals. It helps you, it actually layers down fat as well for long-term storage, which is another reason that people like under stress, you get this cortisol belly right around here, this little inner tube I recognize, I study this stuff and I'm like, oh, hey, stressors. And again, it is doing all of this in the context of helping you to survive the challenge. So cortisol is really about it's about unpredictability and helping your body prepare for that unpredictable. We don't know how long this is going to last. We just got to make sure we're shutting down everything that's not serving us in the moment and ramp up everything that is. So you get that massive blast of sugar from your liver into all of your muscles so you can run faster or you can punch harder. But again, you're elevating your blood sugar now. So now you're setting yourself up for diabetes. Like there's all kinds of like long-term unintended consequences of cortisol in the modern world. I don't know if that was useful to you or not, but
So useful. No, that's so interesting. So then what do you do? You've got your cortisol belly. Like what do you do? Do you implement T-3 on the reg?
Yes. On the regular, when you're feeling that stress, again, it's not getting rid of it. It's playing with it. Right. It's saying, oh, yeah, I see you. We're going to go out run the tiger right now, because those things like that exercise in that moment, in those 3 minutes, the identifying it and going, hey, I've outrun the tiger, gives your body permission to go back into the parasympathetic nervous system where it's like uploading all of your like, oh, good. Let's increase immune response. Let's increase sex drive. Let's, you know, we're OK now. Instead of staying in that constant state of the sympathetic nervous system, which is just everything turned up and heightened and going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. What can I? Yeah.
Yep. How does it look for you now? Like, what do you notice in your own life? And when that fear comes up, or do you just have it on lock to do T-3, to really live in that stress, then let it go and yeah. leave that process?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get told all the time, like, oh, well, you're a stress physiologist. You must have no stress. Like, you must be. And I'm like, that's so cute. I wish, you know, like I wish I had it on lockdown. I think I'm definitely more aware. And I think that's key. Right. I'm definitely more aware of it. And I know what to do in those moments. So I've trained my body. You're not going to want to go work out. You're like, I can't, I'm so stressed. The last thing I need to do is lay down and take a nap. That is the worst thing. It's exactly what you need. Right. So I think I've trained myself to be a little bit more cognizant of those moments and allow the switch to happen and get myself into those habits of T-3. It doesn't mean it doesn't catch me by surprise sometimes. It doesn't mean that I have got it on lockdown. I'm just thinking 2 days ago, I was like in this all day rager, just like, I'm just really stressed out. And finally it was like 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, back, what are you even doing? And I went for a 6 mile run at 8 o'clock at night. And I came home and I was like, everything's better. Like, everything is better. Sometimes
how important is exercise then? Like, is
huge.
That
huge
the it's trick?
Is massive. That... It's okay. Massive. It's massive. And I say, like, I said 6 mile run. I don't care if you get out for a walk around the block. Like, move your body. Stand up and just have a dance party. I'm a big fan of dancing. Music will shed cortisol. Crying sheds cortisol. Right. Allowing wow. your body to feel. Yeah. Right. Great.
Yeah.
So allowing your body to move, to feel, to exist where it needs to exist is huge. The other, I'll just give another practical. I keep something, I keep something called a disaster diary. And I had to do this for myself the other day. And I'll tell you the result. So my disaster diary is when I'm really stressed out about something, I write it down. Right. I write down exactly my fear. Like, this is going to go all wrong. Everybody's going to hate me. Like, you know, like all the things that I'm feeling, which is, it seems ridiculous and we can laugh about it, but like in my head, it's a reality.
It's not.
Like, yeah, it is, but it is funny, right? 2 days later, it's hilarious.
I'm laughing because I can
the
relate.
Whole point. Yeah, yeah. But this is the whole point, right? Like, I'm going to write down, like, everybody's going to hate me. It's going to go terribly wrong. I'm going to look like a fool and I'll never get work again. Okay. That's my fear. And then I set a timer for 24 hours and I come back and I look at it and I update it with any updates. I set it for a week later and I come back and I update it with any updates. And I set it for a year later.
Wow.
And here's what happens. When I go back to my disaster diary, sometimes within 24 hours, I'm like, oh my gosh. All right. And I have to update it like, Rebecca, you were having a moment, like, let yourself go. It's fine. None of these things happened. Sometimes I go back and I'm like, all of those things happened. And you're still alive. And here's what you learned. And here's how you grew as a result. And here are the wonderful things that happened that you didn't anticipate. And sometimes I go back and I'm like, oh, I don't even remember that. Why was I so stressed out, right? And so just keeping that diary is really useful to me because when those feelings come up, they are so real and they are so intense that just going back and seeing, oh, I've survived this before, like I'm okay, has been a real game changer as well.
I totally agree with that. I haven't done that on that scale. And then I love that tactic because so I've noticed that things that I think are such a big deal, they like just the other day, Justin woke up in the morning and he was like all wound up about our printer and like the ink and just on and on. And I was like, I don't need this shit in the morning. Like, who are you? And like, I was just mad right. at him for being mad about the printer. And I was like, what's preventing you from getting the printer ink? You know, like just, okay, this is right. really like such a tiny little thing. And so I really like let it affect my morning. I was kind of wound up and I was like, do I need to tell him? Do I need to not? Do I need to say something? And I was going on and on in my head. And then I was like, okay, you have gotten wound up about small things this is really small in the big picture. So you've gotten wound up about things before. So can you just chill the fuck out for like a day and then revisit this? If you're still mad about it, then come back and then see.
Yeah.
And so like you're saying, 24 hours. And then I kind of laughed about it the next day. And then a week went by, and now it's been about a week, and I was like, thought about it today, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that doesn't matter at all in our relationship,
right.
You know?
Right. But it feels so real, and I think it's important that you validate that, right? Like, no, this is real. This is really real to me right now.
It felt real. But when I get a little perspective, I know that it is not life. It is not make or break. And and I'm able to shift that into the perspective of the moment to cause myself less stress in the moment when I'm able to say, I shall also let this go, you know, the
power of
letting go. And I'm wondering if that letting go is part of not only this, but the fearing less as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I mean, there's two points there that I want to hit on. One, you talked about something really important there, and it's the contagion effect. Like emotion, we're incredibly social creatures, right? As humans, this is how we have, like, we read one another and we pick up on one another. So like you laughing made me smile just now. Like just your laughter, I was like, I'm laughing with you.
Yeah, good.
Right. and so is stress. So like Justin's stressed out about this thing, and now you're stressed out about this thing, and like everybody's stressed out, and like, and that again increases tensions. So even in the moment, if you can like do a T-3 together, you know, do the disaster diary together, and then you can have a laugh about it together. And this kind of grows relationships as well. And then the letting go part, I mean, the more you can do that in the moment, listen, good for you. That's amazing. I wish I could say I'm at that level all the time. I'm not.
Oh, I'm not there all the time.
I'm not. It's right. It is absolutely a practice.
Yeah.
And that letting go for me often comes a day later when I look back at my disaster diet. I'm like,
right. Right.
Laughable.
But
laughable.
The more we do it, the more we're able. Right. And so
that's it. Your brain is super trainable. It is so highly trainable. And so the more you wire those neurons together by repeating those behaviors, the more instantly they'll fire. The neurons that wire together fire together. Right. That's So the more you do that practice, the more easy it is for your brain to go, I know what's going on. Let's do this instead of that.
Absolutely. Yep. I've been on a rewire journey for about 5 years now. And it's, awesome. You know, it's a long game. It's the long game. It's not the right now game.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's part of the challenge, right? Because we live in a very instant gratification society where it's like, but I want it now. God, yes. I want, like, give me the pill.
I do. I want it now. I want it yesterday.
I do too, right? I do too. I so get it. And what better thing to do for yourself? Like, if you're investing in health food and you're investing in exercise and you're investing, like, invest in this. This is the biggest game changer. And I'll give the example, if you're in doubt, if you can do it, if you drive a car, that's miraculous. You think about the first time you drove a car, right? Your hands are 10 and 2, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to pay attention to street signs and pedestrians. There's so many things going on. And like today, you drive one hand on the wheel, leaned back, talking to your cell phone, adjusting your podcast, screaming at the kids. You're not paying any attention. And that's incredible because you've trained your subconscious brain to do a complex, like ever-changing task. And if you can do that, you can certainly train your brain to override these stories, shortcuts, instincts that fears that don't serve you. And so it's
That's
just
beautiful.
A matter of, yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
We can do this. Your brain is incredibly capable.
We can.
Yeah.
And just even adopting that attitude and being like, I can do this.
Oh, I can't even tell you. It's the stories, right? It's the stories we tell. It's huge. Yeah. It's huge.
Tell a new story. 100%.
Tell a new story.
And just tell yourself, like, sometimes I just have to look at other people and go like, okay, it's possible. They did it.
Yeah, you know? Dude. Okay. So can I nerd out on you for one more second? There's a science.
Nerd out for all the seconds you want. Go for
it.
Yay.
So one of my favorite studies, they took a group of housekeepers, right? Split them into two different conditions. And the first condition, we told the housekeepers absolutely nothing. In the second condition, we told them, hey, do you know that when you're cleaning, you're actually meeting the Surgeon General's requirement for exercise? That's it. That's the only difference between the two groups. One thinks that they're meeting the Surgeon General's requirement for exercise. One doesn't know anything. All right. They all wear these nifty-nifty like wristwatches, which track exertion, heart rate, diet. All of that is factored out of the analysis. And after 4 weeks' time, you see this massive difference between the two groups. The group that is simply told that they're meeting the Surgeon General's requirement for exercise, lower weight, lower blood pressure, lower body fat, lower waist to hip ratio, and a lower body mass index in 4 weeks' time. Amy, I read that study and I was like, you're an athlete. You're an athlete. You're an athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, it's powerful stuff. And like, people are very dismissive of it because they're like, oh, it's just the placebo effect. It's like the story your brain is telling. And I'm like, yeah, it's the story your brain is telling. So we're manifesting all the time based on the stories that your brain is telling. Don't you want to do that intentionally? Like, don't you want to have intention behind those stories? To me, I'm like, yeah, I absolutely want to make sure I'm telling myself the story that I want to experience. So yeah, that's my little science aside. And there's so many of those.
I feel like I've heard other examples of that. That's just incredible. I mean, that's just the power of our mind. And, you know, can we take control of that? Are we willing to do the work to take control of that? And
be your own wizard.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Come on. It just takes practice. And again, it's not, you don't flip a switch, but it takes time. So if you had to like boil things down, somebody said, what's the key to life, Rebecca, Dr. Heiss, what would you say?
Presence and gratitude. Presence. Yeah. I think that's what I'd say. The key to life. I mean, okay, wait, like, so let me back up. I was thinking I had to do a short answer and I'm like, I want to give a much longer answer to this. The key to life biologically from an evolutionary biologist is to have sex, or is to survive long enough to have sex and pass on offspring. So biologically, I am a full on failure, right? Like full on failure. My genetics die with me. And that's an interesting thing to have to reckon with, because what that means is that I don't have an instant legacy, right? I don't have a biological legacy. I don't have that immediate, this is what I pour my heart and my love and my soul into. And as a result, I think I've been very conscious about crafting crafting a legacy, crafting a this is Rebecca's mark on life. And for the first half of my life, that was striving. Right, that was achieving, that was doing the things I'm supposed to do. And in the last half of my life, it's been being very present to myself first and feeling like, does this feel good? Oh, do more of that, right? Does this not feel good? Question it, like get curious, why not? What's going on? How can you adjust it? How can you know, because there are things that we have to do. There are, like you have to have a way to make a living somehow, right? To provide for your family or yourself or something. There are things that are non-negotiable. But most of life is negotiable. And I think that's become part of the key, is realizing how adaptable we are. And if we're present and calm with ourselves and grateful for where we are, the ability to adapt and to grow within the next challenge and the next challenge is infinite. And so that's, to me, the key to life, I guess, is enjoying yourself along the way.
I totally love that. Love everything Thanks. About it. And it is true. You know, like when you're present, you're able to give yourself that compassion, that presence, that just momentary pause.
It's What's JOMO. That? It's the joy is missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I just realized we've been talking for over an hour. I just realized we've been talking for over an hour. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to wrap this up. And then like, wait, no, I don't. This is like, that's the little voice in my head going, you got another thing to do. And I'm like, no, you don't. This has been such a joy. I have had such joy in missing out on the other potentials, the other possibilities. Maybe that's the key to life, is not comparing and not worrying about all of the other options, but to go all in, right? To be right here.
Does missing out even exist?
Oh.
I just took it to another level. There's no such thing.
There's no such thing. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, which is transformative right there. Like, how can you change that story, right? And change it into like, I'm never missing out. I'm always exactly where I'm supposed to be, and this is it.
That's beautiful. So, yeah, that's fucking beautiful. Cool. I love it.
I don't know why we changed that. Not anagram. Why can't we think of that? Oh God, everybody's saying it right now, I'm sure. So yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. You guys win. Chalk it up. Chalk it up.
I'll think of it when we hang up. But yeah.
Yeah. That thing. Oh my God. Why can't I think of this?
Why can't we think of that? What is it called? I'm looking it up right now.
It's gonna drive me nuts.
Me too. No, I'm looking it up. I can fucking edit this. I don't care. Like, what is it called? How do I even describe it? Let's see.
Using letters for words.
Made of
to represent words.
First letters.
Holy shit. Why?
Acronym. Is that right?
Acronym. Yes. Jesus.
Now acronym sounds weird to me. Okay,
it sounds weird to me too.
We got it. The acronym. All right. On that note, if you couldn't think of it too and you were listening, there you go. It's an acronym. So now we've got to transform that acronym. Okay. What do you want to leave us with today? Is there anything on your heart, your mind, your soul, anything you want to reiterate, anything we didn't get to that we needed to talk about today? Or anything about fearless that we needed to really cover today?
You know, there's two things, I think. Sorry. I know. I just want to talk
great.
To you. Great.
Don't apologize.
This is my excuse to talk to you for more.
I love it. I love it.
The first thing, as I think about it, in like, we've talked about this being a long game and like, you have to be patient with yourself. And this takes time to change these pathways, which is true. Yes. And you can start to see results immediately. Like, I'm just thinking about my favorite talk that I've ever given, and it was also the worst talk that I've ever given, just to put that out there. It was really 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 bad. Like, it was really bad. I'd been in Charlotte, and I'd given a talk, and it had gone well, but somebody had overheard me, pulled me aside, and was like, hey, I know this is really weird, but I have a son, he's 15 years old, they're part of this like big basketball tournament, and they're playing here this weekend, and they're doing really poorly. And these are like nationally ranked kids. These are like the top in the nation, 15 and under teams. Would you just come and give them like 10 minutes of that mindset talk you gave? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, I'm an old basketball player. I love the sport, and I love talking with kids. I feel like it's really important. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I get into the room, and it's been a minute since I've talked to 15-year-old boys. And I will tell you, I lost them immediately. I mean, like, I'm rambling on and they're like, you know, like checking their phones or something. I don't know. It was bad. And I came back and I saved it just like a little bit at the end. I was like, all right, listen, here's the three things you need to do. Like, three, boom, 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 boom. Go do those things. You got this. Go fight, win. All right. So the coach invites me to go watch this game. And I'm like, you know, it's the least I can do after I just gave them this terrible talk, right? And I'm watching them during the game. And I'm telling you, Amy, these kids had no business winning this game. Like, no business. The other team walked in and I was like, holy hell, they are going to get creamed out there. And for the first half, they struggled. And they went to the halftime at like down by 12 or something. Like, it wasn't terrible. And they came out. But as I'm watching them, I'm like watching them do the things that I suggest. I'm like watching them do this team out of three. I'm watching them reset. I'm watching them change the stories that they're telling themselves after a missed shot, after a turnover. And it was like watching a Disney movie. I shit you not, because it's fourth quarter now. Fourth quarter, and they are up by 8 points with 30 seconds left. And I am like, I am full on like mama bear sweating like in the stands, like I'm going off. And this kid who's been playing the whole time, he comes off the bench with, you know, they had a little timeout, comes off the bench, finds me in the stands. I'm gonna cry telling the story. Finds me in the stands and just mouths me like,
oh my God.
And I get really emotional about this, because if I had had if I'd had that at 15, if I'd had some of the lessons that I learned, my life would be very different. And I don't wish for that. Like, I'm very grateful for my life, but it was so meaningful to me to see the immediate effect of some of these practices, and that a 15-year-old boy is noticing this and having the presence of mind in the middle of a basketball game to think and have gratitude. It was everything to me. So that was one thing. Wow. That I wanted to touch on is don't get discouraged about the long game, because there are immediate things that can take effect.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. And that is, 15-year-old boys have got to be like some of the toughest audience around. I mean,
boy.
My daughter,
thanks for saying that.
is 14, and she's, you know, kind of got a little crush on a boy. And I'm like, oi, oi. And she's like, yeah. He's not responding. And I'm like, honey, he doesn't know anything.
He's 15. They don't know. They're so lost.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah. So no, that's really beautiful. And you're right. Thanks. You're right. You will. It's both. It's both.
Yeah. It's a yes and. It's a yes and.
It's a yes and.
Yeah. Oh,
incredible.
And then the other thing actually ties right into this, which is, you know, my job now is as a full-time speaker. And so I literally get applauded for the work that I do. Like, if I do a good job at work, people stand up and they clap, right? So that's wild to me, but it hit me the other day. I was like, holy hell, you know how many people are doing incredible work, like really difficult work on themselves, just like at a regular job? Like, this is my standing ovation to all of you out there doing the work. So that's really where I want to leave you, is like, I want to give you the standing ovation that you deserve for doing the work for yourself, for the people around you, for your daily job. Like, life is hard. Give yourself the standing ovation that you deserve. And you have one for me as well.
Oh my God. We need to start a company that's like the standing ovation, and you send a standing ovation to someone.
Oh, I'm so in. Let's go. I mean,
you send it to like your house cleaner. You send it to like people who never get a standing ovation. I literally would give my house cleaner a standing ovation every time.
I would too. It's the best. It's the best. I'm with you, because there's a lot of people that do a lot of really hard work that are underappreciated and undervalued. So to all of you, like,
yes. We're going to start our company.
I'm going to have to
insert a stock sound in there.
Standing no. Yeah. Standing no.
Yes. And, you know, maybe we just need to like be willing to give ourselves that. Cause like so many times you're like, no, stop, sit down, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah.
No, but like being able to
bring it on.
Is some deep work too. You know?
Gosh, I'll tell you, it is. I still fight the urge to run off stage. Like, I fight it. I'm like, sit there. Take this. It's feeding you. And for all of you, like, take that. Take that moment.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good lesson right there, too. So, everybody, I am going to find a sound. I'm going to put a sound in. So, just receive
it. You didn't like our clapping, yeah.
I'm going to put it in there with our clapping. So, yes. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time today and all that you shared, because I, too, love just not only what we learned, but the practical tips that we can use. T-3 is very cool. Thank you for not only coming up with that, but just sharing it today. I really am grateful. How can everyone connect with you, find you, book you perhaps to speak?
That'd be great. I promise I won't wear the sweatshirt to speak.
Why not? Wear it. I like
probably.
It.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah, the easiest way to find me is just to go to my website, which is just RebeccaHeist.com. Or reach out on socials. I am on all the socials, mostly Instagram at Dr. Rebecca Heiss. And yeah, please do reach out, because I'll respond. I read everything. I respond to people. If you have questions, if you have concerns, like, I'm a human being. Like, please reach out, ask your question. I'll do
That's
everything
right.
I can to help you out.
Everything is going to be in the show notes as well. So people should have no trouble clicking through and finding you. You also have Fearless Masterclass.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for telling me that. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a whole year-long program that is pretty much everything that I know. And you can take it over the course of 52 weeks. It is a Fearless Masterclass, and you can find all the information on that at fearlessmasterclass.com.
Very cool.
And yeah, it's 52 modules, which is insane. So if you're a really insane, crazy person, which I love, I mean, I'm not trying to insult any of you. You could also do it as an accelerator program, and you can do it in 50 days. So if you're one of those people who's like, I need results now. There you have it. So
that's cool.
Yeah. It's a fun program.
Yeah, very nice. Well, good. Well, the link will be in the show notes for that as well. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything and for taking the time to do this today. Super grateful.
This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And thanks for all of your excellent questions.
I'm giving you a standing ovation right now.
Right back.
I'm sitting, truth be told, but I'm going to stand up right after this and I'm going to applaud. So thank you so much. And thank you to you for tuning in today and for being here, because you are showing up for yourself. I don't know about you, but I have wondered about cortisol more times than I can count. And so I'm really glad to have just a little primer on, you know, how that looks for us, how it's functioning in our bodies and what it is affecting. So that's really important. The more we can understand, the more we can use things to serve us. So thank you for being here and showing up for yourself, and rate, review, subscribe, all the things for the show. I haven't asked for a rating in a while. So if you can do it, Spotify is super easy. If you're listening there, just hit the stars. That would be amazing, because for some reason, those are a little bit harder to accumulate. So please do, if you're listening on Apple too, I'd love a review. And of course, reach out to me anytime. Subscribe to my newsletter. That'll keep you up to date with everything. It's at amyedwards.info or amyedwards.com, and you can find everything. So thank you again to our guest, Dr. Rebecca Heiss. Go check it out. Go get more fearless and more everything. So I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.